Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Well, Danielle, tell us about today's inductee into the Pervert Teacher Association.
Well, she's from Florida, not like the rest of us. She's a now former teacher's aide who's accused of having a threesome with two 15-year-old students at a pool at her condo complex.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand where the horniness for the teenagers comes from.
These kids are getting more action than grown men, mm-hmm. than Hollywood actors or rock stars.
I know.
It was a threesome in the pool?
Threesome in the pool. So initially, the teacher denied having sex with one of the boys at his home, but then when police said they had a couple of witnesses, she fessed up to that and then said, oh yeah, by the way, there was a threesome in the pool at my condo, which they have security camera footage of at this point. I don't know how people aren't always thinking, I mean, between this and the Spygate 2.0, how do you not realize you're always being taped somewhere,
yeah.
somewhere?
Is this part of a docuseries called Lose Your Job?
That is correct. The late night three-way occurred after she allegedly bought booze and marijuana for the boys. The three of them had been attending a party together.
Uh-huh.
The boys had said they communicated with her via Snapchat. They each had sexual contact with her. And so now she is facing several different charges, including lewd and lascivious battery and sexual activity with a 15-year-old.
What's her name?
Kristen Rose.
Oh, okay.
Christy Rosa, excuse me.
Kind of a looker. Maybe we'll share a link on our on our Twitter feed.
Sure.
For her.
Yeah. So the vape ban ends today, December 11th, here in Massachusetts. And here is what you need to know about it. Stores will not be able to sell any flavored vape cartridges because we're doing a little flip-flop. So the ban on the vaping products ends, but then we're heading toward the ban on flavored tobacco products. That will take effect immediately for anything vape-related when it comes to flavors. When we're talking about tobacco products like cigarettes, chew, etc., that ban on flavored products will take effect June 1st, 2020. So you get a little, about 6 months or so before that actually goes into effect.
I'm going to stock up on Skoll Extra Mint pouches.
You better. I mean, what's the shelf life on that?
Myself a lifetime supply of them and store them away black market style.
You have to.
Greg, would you... Two separate people Sunday, one in the parking lot and one in the stadium, came up to me and actually said, hey, you got to be kidding me. Does Greg actually use pouches? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of like a thing he does. Yeah. And they were like, come on, if he's a real man, he should use chaw.
Well, I
two separate dudes. I got accosted for your dipping.
No, I support the pouch because there's nothing worse than knowing somebody that chews and every day having to be like, you have dip in your teeth again.
Yeah, it's like when you have food in your teeth and nobody tells you about it.
After they've been talking to you for 15 minutes, you've smiled 40 times.
Yeah.
Be
Thanks,
a real
John.
Man and eat it, Greg.
Except it tastes like North Quincy.
Gross.
Willie Nelson was doing cedar bark. I mean, that's a real American hero, mm-hmm. is somebody who's smoking cedar bark or chewing bark mulch.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah. Let's head down south to Florida, not like the rest of us.
And now,
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Well, you mentioned it before, and I'd be in favor of it, Greg. Banning the Axe body spray. A school bus in Manatee County, Florida, had to be evacuated because of Axe body spray. There were 33 students that were headed home from Buffalo Creek Middle School. They smelled a noxious odor, their words. Uh-huh. They pulled over, evacuated the bus, and then they figured it out later on that someone had sprayed Axe, or it had gone off in their bag.
Excessive Axe application.
Something doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than an excessive Axe application.
Yeah.
Especially in an intimate area.
I was reading yesterday, I think it's because of the Peloton thing, that there are certain gifts that you should never get for anybody for the holidays. Mm-hmm. We've discussed some of them. We've discussed getting a woman a vacuum cleaner or a Swiffer. Mm-hmm.
Job box set.
Or getting her a gym membership. This particular article was talking about how you should never get somebody any kind of a scent, whether it be perfume or cologne. Because you're basically offending them and telling them that they smell.
Get out of here. Yeah. I wouldn't buy perfume or cologne because scent is such a personal thing. And unless I knew the person liked that fragrance.
Yeah, but they're saying that even if you know it, you should never get that.
Because people are going to be butthurt because I think you smell.
Right.
Get out of here.
It's just like there's been so many people who have, whether it's on text or on social media, who have said, I would be delighted if my husband got me a Peloton.
Seriously.
And spent a couple grand on me.
My friend
Peloton?
Yeah.
My friend Lindsay just posted a photo yesterday, and she's like, my husband got me a Peloton. I'm psyched. And she took the same photo as Grace from Boston did.
This is Ian from Framingham. What's up, Ian?
Hey, how you guys doing? I listen all the time. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
I just wanted to complain about how, as a vapor, They took it away, cold turkey. I had to be going to Connecticut the first day.
Yeah.
But if I'm smoking menthols, I get a 6-month grace period.
Yeah. I guess it's because.
Get those Newports, kid.
I guess it's because cigarettes have been around for a longer period of time. Is that why? Or,
we already know they're going to kill you.
But if we had to have a vape ban, this is a good question for the governor. If we had to have a ban, why are they allowing them back today? I mean,
it's regular vape that's coming back, right?
Not yes,
the flavored vape is out, but the regular vape. Isn't it something because the flavored vapes, the chemicals that go into the flavored vapes are part of the waxy film that is building up inside people's lungs? And when teens are abusing or misusing it, that's what's causing them to have breathing issues?
Or it's when you get the black market cartridges. That's the problem. That's when you have all the weird lung buildup and the popcorn
stuff.
All the bad stuff.
Or it's the tax on it.
The argument is that they're going to deter young people. For instance, they're imposing a 75% excise tax on all nicotine, like e-delivery systems. So any kind of battery, rig, anything like that you would vape with, 75% tax.
How much?
And the argument is that it's going to deter the young people from buying them.
Greg, I figured out how to make that extra $1 million so we can all build our retirement/zombie bunkers. All we have to do is go buy vape products, skull pouches, and potatoes, because they're all going to be in such short supply.
Seriously.
We can have a black market.
Have
and
we
bacon.
Gotten an explanation as to why flavored liquor is fine but flavored vape isn't? Has anybody given a
no
reasoning?
There's not
where's
one.
Where's the governor been? He's ducking you.
Seriously.
His holiday party is this evening.
Ooh.
The governor is...
You going?
I'm
going to
go.
Where is it?
It's over... I don't know if I could reveal where it is. It's somewhere in the seaport.
Okay.
Lavish party?
I don't think it's lavish. It's probably paid for by the private donors or something.
You're
going like
to stay longer than halftime at the governor's party?
Stay there for quite some time.
You sitting courtside at the governor's party?
I don't think there'll be mistletoe or anything like that.
Do you need a videographer?
That's highly, highly inappropriate. It's kind of an event.
If you're a hunter, listen up. If you're not having a lot of success this particular season, there's a guy in Western Michigan who's in big trouble for spraying the area around his brother's hunting stand, his deer blind, with deer repellent.
Really?
This is a brother-on-brother feud.
Yeah.
Now, they hunt, I believe, in a private area that's adjacent to public land. And one brother was arguing that the other brother was cutting deer off at the pass, essentially.
Before they got to his deer
stand. Before they got to his area.
Yeah.
So He sprayed the whole area with deer repellent. The other brother gets suspicious. He sets up a trail cam, catches his brother on film. So now he went to the police with the video. And the other brother has been charged with hunter harassment. He's also been facing a separate charge of baiting deer when prohibited.
It's pretty ingenious, actually, as a way to get the deer over to your deer stand.
I know. Just, I have a buddy who's hunting right now in Maine. I'm like, you better see if make sure your brother didn't spray anything up there.
This is Nick from Framingham on the vape topic. Yes, Nick.
Hey, Greg, what's up? I just wanted, I got two things, actually. One, I find it sort of interesting that all of a sudden, once they got this ban done in September, and now that they passed this law, they've got the quote unquote vape related illnesses seem to have disappeared from mainstream news cycle.
Interesting, well, isn't it?
I don't know that they've disappeared. I mean,
they're not getting as much prominence, though. I mean, when this vape ban first took effect, it was like every other day we were hearing about either Massachusetts or some other state. Now, I mean, he's right. It's not at the top of.
So
of
you think
any...
it was all about tax then? You think it was all about getting a tax?
I think, I'm not sure if it was all about the tax, but I just think that it's not. We're definitely not getting the whole story, and I don't think that it's about the youth vaping. The other thing I wanted to say, just real quick, is that they also tend to leave out when they say youth vaping has increased by X percent. They tend to leave out the other part of that statistic, which is how much cigarette use has gone down, which is actually fairly parallel. It's not quite as much as the rise in vaping, but it's fairly parallel.
So it's a good thing then, is what you're saying.
And I vape and I use it. I quit cigarettes. I was a 2-pack-a-day smoker, and I quit 5 years ago, and I haven't smoked a cigarette since then. And I vape now, and now I just go to New Hampshire every couple of months. I went in September and bought $200 worth of stuff, and I'm going to go again next week.
Yeah.
And so they can get all my money now. That's fine.
Yeah.
I know that I do believe there was an element of a public safety concern, but I don't think that this state skips out on any opportunity where they can collect tax revenues from the constituents here. And you know, you have, I think the excise tax on cigarettes, packs of 20 is like $3.51 right now. You have what, like a 210% excise tax on the wholesale price of dip. And then they had nothing on, like, the e-liquids. So, oh, God, we really messed up on this one. Let's ban everything and then implement a tax.
I mean,
earmuffs.
You go into any liquor store and you can see, like, a whipped cream flavored nip or a cotton candy flavor.
You meant
choice.
Nothing wrong, but at the same time, given this PC climate, Greg, I feel like whipped cream flavored nip.
You know what I mean?
Coming to a stocking.
Okay, there's one of those like lower end vodkas, like a Pinnacle or something, where it's like cotton candy, birthday cake flavored vodka. How can everything that goes into making a potato based grain alcohol taste like a child's cake not be as bad for you as some of this other garbage that you're allowed to ingest?
Who are those targeted at? They're targeted at
basic bitches.
Instagram influencers and at younger people.
That come in and get one drink and close it, and then get one drink and close it, and get one drink and close it.
So
a bartender's worst nightmare.
You're not speaking from experience, are you, Daniel?
A whole bunch of it. Bachelorette parties specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's cotton candy vape or cotton candy vodka.
Right.
If you're going to ban or cotton candy dip, there's no skull cotton candy.
That's
flavor.
A flavor profile. I don't know if I want to mix.
You mean
those
Starbucks
two.
Doesn't have a unicorn flavored pouch for you?
they should. But it's hypocritical to ban one and not the other. Hello, John.
Hey, so I have two things. The saddest part about the vaping flavor ban is that if you ask almost any adult vapor, they're going to tell you that they hate the tobacco flavor. I mean, it tastes awful as a vapor myself.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when it comes to the health problem, if our government really cared about our health, then they would have banned all tobacco products overnight. But they didn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just kind of says something right there.
Well, it's a 75 6% excise tax. I mean, that's egregious, to use a word that has been very popular around here. 75%?
75%.
Crazy.
They think they're going to price kids out of the market, but it's
egregious.
They'll find other ways.
Somebody has to pay for the state president's allowance of 25K a year.
We don't have a president yet in this state.
State Senate president.
So when other states or other cities, Greg, like let's just use New York City, okay? For example, when they make the massive increase in taxes on something like cigarettes, do you think that they're doing that as a deterrent to people that are more likely or prone to give in to using such an accessible narcotic?
No.
Or do you think it is just so they can, because it's an expensive city to run?
I think that in their odd logic, they believe that they can tax you out of a certain behavior, but it doesn't happen. People just find other ways.
Right.
Like if you're going to, you know, you look at Marty Walsh or whomever, and they say, all right, we're going to put a massive tax on this product because we believe that it's like the gas tax. Mm-hmm. They don't want you driving your car around. Okay. They want you riding a bike or taking public transportation. So they crank up the gas tax, and they think that people are going to somehow not have to drive where they're going. All they do is screw us every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you live in a certain area where you have to drive your car,
good luck.
You have to drive your car.
That's it. There's no way around it.
And they don't have a reliable transportation system.
No.
I mean, yesterday, a bunch of people were waiting for the T. And the station started to fill with smoke because the overhead wires
were
arcing or sparking or whatever it is. We're trying to create this city like a European city with bike lanes everywhere.
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. And people can't take their bike. It's ludicrous. Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, I got a question. Is double taxation illegal?
I don't think any kind of taxation is illegal. They can tax you for whatever they want to tax you.
Well, you got 75% excise tax coming on this stupid thing. Of course, we know we live in Massachusetts and they're greedy. But you got to pay a sales tax on top of that excise tax.
Of course you do.
Two separate taxes.
I mean, it's
that's ridiculous.
Look at your car. There's an excise tax. There's fees at the registry. There's gas tax. There's all that stuff because they don't want you driving your car. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
You were saying that it's hypocritical for the flavored alcohol versus flavored vape.
Yeah.
But if it's a public safety thing, flavored alcohol, you're ingesting into your digestive system and you're not breathing it into your respiratory system.
You don't think alcohol does damage to humans every single day?
But if you're talking about the flavor being the ingredient that is problematic, what that ingredient is affecting in vape is your respiratory system.
There are fake, and what the alcohol is affecting is your liver. It's your body, your brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing.
But also the chemicals used to synthesize these flavors can screw up almost everything on your inside. And about the gas thing, too, I think people sometimes when you say like they don't want you driving your car, like people forget sometimes how lucky we are and how fortunate we are in that, like, we have like the fourth lowest gas prices in the world. Do you know how expensive it is to get a gallon of gasoline if you go to Europe or other places that everyone wants to visit on their big touristy destinations or take the family trip to? It's three times as expensive to get a gallon of gas pretty much anywhere else you'd want to go in the civilized world, Greg.
Well, you know what the next tax is going to be? It's going to be on porn because they're trying to ban...
How dare you!
They're trying to ban porn. And I don't know where do you stand on that story, which,
please,
you know,
which
appeared yesterday. You talk about Twitter. Twitter's going to, I guess, by January 1st, everything is going to be gone from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some conservative elected officials who want a total ban on pornography.
Good luck.
They have
to
show their browsing history before they vote
on this. Seriously.
People of a conservative belief in Twitter have always had a pretty suspect or contentious relationship to begin with, but now they want to ban our prawn as well? Stop.
Like, we're going after porn. This is what, you know, a lot of times I see some frivolous things that we debate within our legislature here in the state and on a national level, and I'm kind of like, well, yeah, it's kind of dumb, but maybe it'll teach people a lesson. Porn? Leave it alone.
Is there an argument that it's harmful or that,
yes,
that it affects...
It's detrimental to the development of society.
That it hurts relationships,
yes, because people ruin relationships by trying the things they see on RedTube and YouPorn all the time.
Unsuccessfully. Porn site XArt.
XNXX.com. That I was there last night.
So people are being injured when they try the trapped under the sink or trapped under the coffee table.
Yes.
Dude, my wife's been stuck in the washing machine for 2.5 weeks. She can't even busk anymore. My kids right now are home feeding themselves. I don't know how they're going to get to school. Oh, and if they're going to ban porn, how's Fitzy going to get all of his Patriots highlights? Ken, you sounded an awful lot like me there.
All right.
He was ready for that.
Well, we're going to be joined in a few moments by Trollin' Volin. Ben Volin of the Boston Globe is going to join us with the latest on Spygate 2.0.
He has some news. He's been talking it up in here, so he's ready to go.
He has breaking news?
He has information about the videographer.
Oh, he does? About the videographer. Okay. Yep. All right. Ben Volin coming up after we find out what is trending.
Today at 10 a.m., it's a Wiggy Wednesday on Daily Keith. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
That's Wiggy at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Trending now brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Get employee pricing plus. It's the Ram Big Finish event at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. 495ram.com. Well, Robert Kraft made his first public comments on Spygate 2 last night briefly. "You know everything you should know," was his quote, declining to talk further with reporters. That was at the NFL meetings in Dallas. Belichick reportedly was furious. Jeff Howe of The Athletic said that. We'll see if Volin concurs. And the Bengals, of course, say they were livid. Multiple sources told the Globe they're not getting out of this one, meaning the Patriots. They got caught red-handed, dead to rights. So, and Ordway said there was more than 8 minutes of footage, and it was egregious, you know.
Well, I mean, why would you not inform the Bengals? If you inform the Cleveland Browns, mm-hmm, I mean, it's their stadium, but why would you not inform the Bengals as well if you're not doing something they shouldn't be doing?
Very suspicious. Tom Brady is pulling the ripcord on Best Buddies as the co-chair. He was that for 16 years, going back to 2003. New in his place will be Edelman and Tatum of the Celtics. This is the chair of Best Buddies Challenge Hyannisport, but it's in general his whole affiliation with them, right, is going in a whole different role. He's going to serve as like global ambassador. But
well, yeah, and I believe that Ben's newspaper intimated that there was some kind of a payoff scenario going on
Did they attack Best Buddies?
Where Tom Brady would participate in Best Buddies to get money for his own charity.
Yeah.
And so we will see what happens with that, I guess.
Which Tom Brady then funneled to freelance videographers to get the advanced intel with the scouting, which is why the Patriots have had a double dynasty. Right, Ken? Shut up.
Fitzy might be a double agent for the Patriots. And would it surprise you if, like, we learned that he's an operative? He's a Belichick operative. He's some that planted to, like, gain secrets about other members of the media.
Sorry,
I'll be right back.
Winter meetings on full swing. Multiple teams are now targeting David Price. Now, of course, the big fish fell last night. Gerrit Cole, 9 years, $324 million to the Yankees, $36 million a year. He can opt out after the fifth. No trade clause at age 29. But now, this might mean the Red Sox trade David Price. He's coveted for a mere $96 million over 3 years.
Greg, do you think if the Yankees don't win the 2020 World Series, that will be the highest price failure in history?
I believe the Boston Red Sox of this previous season were the highest price failure in baseball history.
But between Stanton, Chapman, and this guy, I mean, three players are making more than the entire Orioles and Rays rosters will be on opening day. It is insane.
It's crazy. It is.
10 years without a World Series and counting. Bruins at the Caps tonight, Celtics at the Pacers. It's the Greg Hill Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Joining us now in the studio with the latest on Spygate 2.0, it is Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. And I believe, if you don't mind, we have a new theme song for you.
Let's hear it.
Is that all right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Right, let's do it.
One question. Do I feel lucky? Trolling, trolling, bowling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, bowling. Trolling, trolling, trolling. Go ahead. Make my day.
All right. Here to troll you this morning when it comes to Bill Belichick.
And feeling what, lucky,
and what may. Now, listen, you're gloating in the other room about some new information. Why don't you share that right off the bat with us this morning?
It's actually in the Globe today, so you guys have all outed yourselves as having not read my article today, so I appreciate
that.
Well, we're
busy in the morning. We got our own show to do.
Really sad he didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
I would love to, you know, believe the Patriots are cheating. You know, I am trolling Volen after all, and I always am very skeptical of the Patriots' explanations. But I do buy what they're selling this time. I think they've been very transparent, and I talked to people from all sides yesterday, Patriots, Browns, Bengals, the NFL. I talked to everyone, and I do believe this was definitely like a mistaken identity thing or a guy not knowing the rules. First of all, what was interesting, the guy who was busted, he's a videographer. He's really a producer, and he is a full-time employee of Kraft Sports Productions. So
Full-time employee. So he should know better than what he was doing.
Yes, and it's an organizational failure for the Patriots not to. They should have their T's crossed and their I's dotted, and everyone in that organization should know all the videotaping rules. This guy, a full-time employee, did not know, so it's a failure of him, of the people above him. Yes, that is where they royally screwed up. They did not know. But, you know, the quote that I had in today's paper, I think, is why I believe the Patriots. It's like, if they really were going to be surreptitiously filming the Bengals singles, would they send a guy in a Bruins sweatshirt into the press box to sit down right in front of the Bengals, set up a tripod, stick the camera on there, and just film for 12 minutes or whatever? Like, no. It is too incredulous to believe.
Yeah. Then how do they screw it up so bad?
So this full-time guy, here's more that I learned yesterday. First of all, they didn't decide to do this Do You Job episode until late November. And they're looking at, okay, well, which possible games could we do? And after the Bengals, they play the Bills and the Dolphins. And the Patriots didn't think they'd get too much cooperation from division rivals. So they're like, oh, you know, Bengals-Browns, that seems like a fairly innocuous game. We'll just do that one. So this videographer, producer, whatever you want to call him, they only do home games. This is the first time he's ever done a road game. So they only do home games, and they're always at Gillette Stadium, and they're always standing right on the sideline, right outside the yellow dotted line there, filming the Patriots sideline for reaction for their various shows. Mm. So that's all he knows. Mm. And so this is the first time he's ever on the road, and he's up in the press box, and he's a producer, and he's thinking to himself, oh, we're doing a piece on the guy who's scouting, and why don't I collect some B-roll, some shots of what he's actually scouting, and, you know, we'll throw in a few shots later. You know, another person told me, look, media, it's what you do. You shoot first and you ask questions later.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what Nick was saying earlier. He's very familiar with B Productions.
Hey, Ken, some of us are good at more things than just being a jerk.
And so this guy is filming in the first quarter. And the Bengals employee right behind him can't believe what's going on. And so he takes out his own camera and starts filming. And there's video of the video. So, yeah. I mean, they have them as far as breaking the rules, like they have him dead to rights.
Yeah.
So finally he lets him go because he wants to collect more evidence. At the end of the first quarter, like in between quarters, the guy goes and gets Bengals security, the NFL representative, Duke Tobin, who's basically the Bengals GM, and they all confront the guy. He has no idea what's going on. They go to the back of the press box in the dining area away from everyone, and this is where the guy says, oh, I had no idea I was breaking the rule. Here, why don't we just delete it, and we'll move on. Oh. This is not essential content. We'll just delete it. And they're like, no, we're taking your SIM card instead. And they, you know, took that as evidence as well.
Oh.
And the Patriots have admitted they broke the rules. So this is not, you know, it's not even, you don't need to source it. The Patriots have, they broke the rules. But I do believe it was a big misunderstanding. And I do think that's where the league is leaning right now. I do think they're buying the Patriots' explanation. Bill Belichick hates Kraft Sports Productions. A lot of the projects they do, he wants nothing to do with it. It's Robert Kraft's vanity, not Bill Belichick's. He is Mount Vesuvius right now,
ready to blow his top. So if you buy this, and then you look at the way it makes Bill Belichick look, he must be enraged.
Oh, my God.
He's furious right now?
Yeah, because he knows that another cheating scandal like this could cost him a year-long suspension and his legacy and all that stuff. And, this is a case of, the PR staff not clearing things and not, having all their I's dotted, unfortunately. And they cleared it with the Browns, but they forgot to clear this with the Bengals. And then it's a, low-level Kraft Sports Production producer who had no idea what he was doing. And all of a sudden, these are the guys that are causing Spygate 2 and putting Belichick and Kraft on the line. And trust me, Belichick is pissed. Kraft is pissed. These guys are just apoplectic right now because they know, what the consequences could be. But I really do believe that they were not involved and this was not a surreptitious, operation.
You don't think that Bill Belichick created Do Your Job a year ago so as to be able to spy on every other franchise?
I realize this is Curtis's tinfoil hat conspiracy.
This is unbelievable. They've gotten to Volin. I mean, everybody's on the take now. Incredible. He gets a couple phone calls from PR and all of a sudden he's singing whatever they want.
That's right, because the same guys who went and chased down the Manning HGH guy are now waiting outside of Volin's house just down the street and they're breathing. The heavies are coming for him. I want to know what the penalty is going to be. I think between Volin and I, we got it pegged at about maybe like a quarter mil and a third round pick because the Pats always end up with so many.
A quarter mil?
Sure, why not?
I think it might even be a half a mil, which is the largest penalty possible. Goodell's in a tough spot on this one because it is the Patriots. If this were the Chargers, who would care? But it is the Patriots. It's getting more attention, and they did, they flaunted the rules. They blatantly broke the rule. So like a half million fine, who cares? The organization wipes their butt with $500,000. So I think they have to go that far. And I don't know about a third round pick. That's actually higher. I would think maybe a fifth to a seventh round pick somewhere in there that they need to be docked just to be for stupidity and, sloppiness.
And any information on where Tom Brady is on this?
I haven't heard anything on Brady. I wanted to talk to you more about Best Buddies, clear up some of the misconceptions you guys have there. Are we ready to transition to Best Buddies now?
Could I ask you a quick question on this, Ben?
Sure.
How do they sell this to the league and the 31 other teams that this was just a misunderstanding of the rules? You can imagine the amount of blood these fans want from the Patriots having been caught in a very similar circumstance as Spygate when they already feel that they were not punished severely enough for Spygate.
I agree. And the Bengals are livid as well. I mean, they're ready. They blow their top and they've been happy behind the scenes to let the media know what's been going on. This was not, Woodward and Bernstein type of digging. The Bengals have wanted this out there and they're livid, but understandably so, but I don't know. I just think I think it's, from the Kraft and from the Patriots PR perspective, I think they can explain it away to the league pretty reasonably because all these teams, they do their own production and they understand that maybe one hand doesn't always talk to the other and that there can be a lack of communication. And
does this give Belichick?
Someone from the Browns told me, look, I do think this is much ado about nothing, but these guys have to know the rules here,
Does this give Belichick the ammunition that he probably wants to make all of this ancillary Kraft production stuff go away?
I definitely think you're going to see less original content from the Patriots, especially about guys who are completely off limits, like the trainer and the scouts. And I mean, these are guys that we never hear from. And, Belichick okayed these projects because he felt they'd be friendly projects and, it's in-house and it's kind of like NFL films. It's not, you know, giving them access to third-party media or whatever. But, yeah, I think all this stuff is going to be going away for a while.
So when they get fined and docked a pick or docked a couple picks or whatever, the rest of the country, do they end up looking at the Patriots and saying, well, they got caught cheating again. They weren't paying attention to the rules again. They were doing whatever they want. Is this a further dark stain on the organization?
Yeah, it's self-inflicted. They stepped on their you-know-what on this one.
Yeah.
Completely self-inflicted, and everyone is just slapping their foreheads down there like, what have we done here? Because this is such an unnecessary thing to happen, yeah. And just lots of oversight. And, of course, you're always going to have fans. They probably root for the Steelers and the Colts and the Jets who are going to say, oh, look, the dirty Patriots are up to it again. But I do think, ultimately, with the passage of time, Spygate and Deflategate will always be a permanent mark, but I don't think Spygate 2 will be a big
mark.
Thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, just remember, Ben said the Patriots stepped on their you-know-what here. It's got to be big enough to step on in the first place.
Hey-o.
So this Tom Brady news with regard to Best Buddies appears to some to be troubling.
Well, yeah, I do think it's a further evidence that he's detaching from the Patriots and that he's done after this year because – you know, they do that event in June, and he doesn't want to be here in town anymore and doesn't want to commit to being in town to do it. But this didn't happen suddenly. This has been a long time coming for Tom Brady. He's wanted to detach from Best Buddies for a few years, and that's kind of an awkward dance because how do you, you know, graciously detach from a charity that you've done so much work for? But
yeah
you brought up the Globe story from a few years ago, and we reported that Brady was taking, he asked Best Buddies to donate some of the money to his charities.
Yeah.
That's part of it. He wants to – Best Buddies was something that he kind of got early in his career, 2003. It may have been Teddy Bruschi's thing, and Bruschi, like, handed it over to Brady.
Yeah.
And it became a thing for Brady over the years. But now that he's, 15, 18 years into it, he's wanted to do other pursuits and other charities, but he was kind of locked into Best Buddies. So he was like, all right, well, if you guys are still going to have me doing this, I'd like for you to take some of the money I'm raising for you, an insane amount of money, and let's shift it over to my charity, and I want to donate it. So he's just wanted to do other things for several years. And this announcement that he's going to be a global ambassador is just kind of his gracious way of stepping down.
Well, you can do that from anywhere.
Yep.
So you could be a global ambassador from California.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
From Tennessee.
Or from Miami, which is where their headquarters are.
Or from Miami. But why the announcement yesterday? I mean, if you're informing, the Shrivers or whomever, that you're not going to be doing this come next June, why the announcement right now?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you. Maybe they're just starting to get the 2020 event going, and they're starting the fundraising campaign and the planning now.
You don't think it's like the House, where it is a perfectly timed, let me disengage and let me know everybody that I am disengaging from this franchise kind of announcement?
Well, I mean, I do think it is further proof that Brady's not going to be here next year. I don't know if he specifically wanted it out there now just to tell the world that, hey, I'm done with the Patriots. But, you bring up a good point, and some of these reports about lately, this could be Brady's last year, and there's no way they're going to – it does sound like his camp is – this is all part of contract negotiations, that they're kind of lighting a fire under the Patriots to say, hey, he's going to be gone here if you guys don't step up to the plate. So it certainly could fuel into that.
I mean, look, if he goes, whenever the bandage gets ripped off – whether it starts with some, like gently pulling up the corners a little bit so you can try and ease it off, or you just flat out rip it off. It's going to hurt no matter what. So if it's the House, a little Best Buddies over here, planting little seeds and breadcrumbs along the way through interviews and media, it's going to suck no matter what. So maybe I kind of buy into this, Ben, now that you've mentioned this, that he kind of wants to do more of his own thing, because the more we get to know Tom Brady, the more we see he wants to align himself with his brands and his POV and not other ones, because he wants to control that.
Well, no, I think it's perfectly understandable. He got involved early on in his career in Best Buddies, and he grew to the point that he's at now, global brand. And that event grew to the point where, because of him, where there was a ton of money raised, and that money, he'd like to, if he's going to take his time to do that, he wants to do that for his own foundation. I completely understand that. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I think the question I have is, why does this information come out yesterday? So you're in December. You're in the twilight of this season. People are talking about who's responsible for the condition that the offense is in right now. Is it Bill, the personnel guy? Is it Tom Brady, who is fading at an older age? Why does this information come out yesterday? It's like, you know, why do we know that the house is being sold? Why, you know, I mean,
I just talked myself into believing. I think it's all part of negotiations. I think they're trying to light a fire under the Patriots to say, if you guys don't step up to the plate, we're out of here. And look, we're selling the house. We're disengaging from
Best Buddies.
Yeah, completely. And hey, I might play for the Chargers next year too. I think this is all negotiations.
Wow. All right. When do you think the NFL moves swiftly when it comes to sort of determining what happens to the Patriots punishment-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is in Dallas in a hotel room right now, in a ballroom. So all the major players are there right now, and they have all the evidence. It's very cut and dry. They have the tape. They have the tape of the tape. It's 8-12 minutes of footage of them filming the sideline. It is blatant, cut and dried. So there's no reason for them to drag their feet on this. I would think by the end of the week, if not sooner, that we'll have a resolution to this.
So the tape of the tape is like the Zapruder film. Correct. Yep. Is that what we have?
Yeah, zoomed in on the guy's viewfinder. I mean, they could not believe what they were seeing, and the producer, I believe this, a full time employee. So that part is unbelievable.
He was a full time. Yes. He may no longer be.
When will we know his identity?
The Patriots are being coy about who it is, and understandably, this is just a low level guy. They're not trying to crush this guy in his career. I mean, everyone down there already is just skating on thin or on edge on thin ice. Just can't believe what they've done to the team and in the organization. Kraft's pissed, Belichick's pissed, and these are just low-level guys who have suddenly, gotten the Patriots into Spygate 2. So everyone is just fearful for their job right now and can't believe that they put the Patriots in this situation. And so I think the Patriots are trying to protect the guy a little bit by not, outing his identity. But he is a full-time employee.
They treated McNally and Dorito Dink so well.
Yeah, now we got Bobby B-roll.
Bobby B-roll. All right, Ben Volen, thanks for coming in. I don't know if we'll see you before the culmination of the holidays, so happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah, if anyone here celebrates that.
And you'll be continuing your
little press fedora and get my spyglass out. But, this isn't a big scandal. I really think it's going to blow over for them.
All right, that's good news. That makes Nick very happy.
Never been so happy to get trolled in my life. Thank you, Ben.
But we'll see what Seth Wickersham says about that, because he's going to join us next. So we'll get a little history. We'll go back in history to the original Spygate coming up next on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Right now, a man who has often found himself facing the ire of Patriots fans, Seth Wickersham. Hey, Seth, how are you?
I'm great. Only, you know, not that many, though. I love all Patriots fans, but, you know, it's a noisy crowd that I face the ire of. But, you know, there's a lot of, great Patriots fans that I love talking to, and it's a fun fan base. It's a fun and iconic fan base.
Well, I appreciate you joining us this morning on the Harbor One Bank Hotline, and I know you were there yesterday, part of the media scrum when Robert Kraft spoke and basically said that we all know what we need to know about this. Do you believe that we do know what we need to know about Spygate 2.0?
Oh man! So yeah, yesterday I was at the Four Seasons Hotel, where the league meetings are taking place. And, you know, there's probably like eight of us or so reporters who were waiting and behind a rope down a hallway. Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell were talking for probably about 10 minutes. And then Robert Kraft came out and walked by us and kind of smiled. And, somebody asked him, you know, can we talk about this? And he said, I'm not going to be talking today. He kept walking and he kind of turned around, and over his shoulder, he said, you know everything you should know. Honestly, that's a pretty good line. I guess my feeling is that, you know, I don't agree with it necessarily being called Spygate 2.0. I think that based on what we know, and we don't know everything yet, this seems more stupid than sinister. Mm-hmm. Spygate was a completely different thing altogether that, you know, they were warned three times to not do and continued to do. We'll see. I hope that they release the 8-minute tape. I mean, I think that's, you know, something that would probably benefit everybody if they released it. But, you know, we'll just kind of wait and see what happens.
Well, I think that some look at this and look at Spygate and say, all right, the same kind of thing was going on here where these Kraft Productions employees were told that you know, if they were caught, that they should say that this is what they're doing. They're filming something separately. And that's what ended up happening here. I guess, as you alluded to, it could be just pure stupidity. But how do you have a full-time employee of this organization who is doing saying the exact things that he shouldn't be saying when confronted about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a question the Patriots have to answer. I don't know what was going through his mind. I don't know, you know, what kind of advantage there is to be gained from filming the sideline in the press box in front of everybody. But that said, you know, they did it right in front of the Bengals. The Bengals were clearly offended by this and angry about it. Around the league, I can't say that it's the same type of fury that you saw with Spygate in 2007. And, when the league started investigating footballs right after the AFC Championship game, where, you know, clearly owners and coaches around the league were ready to pounce on the Patriots. This doesn't have that feel. This sort of is more like, what are they? It's the same. People are asking this, you know, owners and presidents
that I spoke to last night are asking the same question you guys are, which is like, what in the world were they doing? Like, this doesn't seem like, you know, worth their time. It doesn't seem like they gain any advantage from it. But like, you know, again, like, why would he say he was working for Robert Kraft, and why would he offer to, you know, can we just delete this and make it all go away? That those are things that nobody knows, but the response around the league, from what I can gather, is not nearly at the fever pitch level of 2007 and 2015.
So, yeah, Seth, you don't believe that this was an effort to sort of start up or re-spiral the systematic, as you called, I believe, along with Don Van Natta back in 2015, the system that gained them a schematic edge over all the other teams. So if you don't believe that, have you spoken to anyone else around the league who does believe that the perception is the reality and the Patriots were trying to do this again? Is that the mainstream belief, or are people?
I think it's just the Bengals. But okay. I mean, they're the ones who saw the footage. So yep. I don't know, you know, I don't know what they saw. Obviously, like the Athletic report came out with some detail of it. You know, the league has the footage also. So I don't know, you know, they clearly think something was going on, but I just can't, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know if it's just the weirdness of this entire thing. You know, but people are more sort of baffled than they are outraged around the league, that I would say. And you have to remember in 2015,
yep,
in the story that you cited, you know, the point of our story then was like, why in the world is World War III occurring? Because a little bit of air might, and I emphasize the word might, and that was emphasized in the story as well, be let out of football. And, you know, it went back to the perception that the Patriots got off easy in 2017. We had that moment in the story where the league's general counsel, Jeff Pasch, stomped the Spygate tapes in a boardroom at Gillette Stadium and left the pieces on the floor for the Patriots to just clean up on their own. And, you know, the league never recovered from that decision. And that was a Roger Goodell decision to destroy those tapes. It just, you know, set off speculation and fury and paranoia about the Patriots. And so when this weird situation happened in the AFC Championship game that had no effect on the game, where the, you know, the league started looking into whether the Patriots were deflating footballs, if anything, it was a minor equipment violation, and it became this huge thing, as you guys know and live, that lasted for years. And the point of our story was to sort of try to explain, like, why this is happening. And that's why it was happening. There was just this paranoia around the Patriots. I don't get the sense that there's that this time around.
And so, and that was all obviously retribution, or Deflategate was, and that's why Kensel was there, and that's why that blew up into the giant mess that it was. So do you think because of the tapes being stomped on years ago, which leads to the excessive mm-hmm. Deflategate penalties, that now the league is going to go full disclosure and probably release these 8 minutes for people to see so we can put the story to bed, or not?
I hope so. I don't have any sense about that. You know, I know that some reports have come out about, you know, more of a fine. I can't say that that's something that I've heard. I mean, you know, as ridiculous as this is, and it seems ridiculous more than, you know, again, seems more stupid than sinister, you know, it is inexplicable how an employee of the New England Patriots can set up a camera and fix it at an opponent's team sideline for 8 minutes. And, you know, I don't know what the penalty, if there's going to be one for that, is going to be. But, you know, I think that, look, this just happened. I think that it's a little important to, like, you know, see what the league turns up. Obviously, the league doing investigations doesn't have a great track record of doing these things, as everybody in Boston knows. You know, nobody around the league likes to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt on anything. But so hopefully they'll just release the tape, and then we'll all be, you know, amateur scouts and, you know, spend a couple weeks trying to figure out what could or could not have been gained from it. But, you know, again, I tend to think that, like, you know, I think that the Patriots, Bill Belichick's words on this, I think that they seem plausible to me. And, you know, taking him at his word on this doesn't seem like an irrational act.
And if you're somebody who is going around and perhaps trying to create the story that there is animosity between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick? Do you think that this furthers that?
I don't know. You know, it's a relationship that I've looked into in the past, obviously, as everyone in New England knows, and reported a lot on, but it's not something that I've looked into this year. I think that, you know, look, Spygate hurt Bill Belichick. There's no question about it. You can say whatever you want about whatever advantage they might have gained from it. And there's obviously some dispute between what he said and what other people, even on the own staff, on those Patriots staffs, have said. But, you know, what's happened since then is this guy has done an amazing job of coaching, and, you know, he's done a lot to try to help his image. You know, you think about the Do Your Job documentaries, you think about the Football Life documentary, you think about some of the books that have come out since then, and the window that he's allowed into, like, how his methodologies work. Again, we'll wait and see what comes out, but it has to just kill him that his picture is up under a banner that says Spygate 2. When, you know, I think it is plausible that, you know, he's telling the truth when he said that he had nothing to do with this and didn't know that it happened. I mean, you obviously saw what happened in 2015 when he gave the press conference about the deflated footballs. You know, he distanced himself from that and left it to Tom Brady to discuss. And, you know, like I said, I think that, like, the league hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to investigating the Patriots. Obviously, a lot of people around the league think the Patriots don't deserve the benefit of the doubt when it comes to issues like this. But I do think that we need to, like, give it a little bit of room to breathe here before it's called Spygate 2 and Belichick is directly implicated.
So, Seth, the piece back in late 2017 about friction at one Patriot place and some dissent within the ranks, especially between Belichick and Brady, was something that was discussed 1, 2, 3, 5 million times here and, you know, made international press. I'm just kind of curious if you hear anything else about Brady and Belichick potentially having any friction this year. Is there still dissent in the ranks? Are they on a collision course that can only lead to separation? Because the future of Tom Brady is something that we're all perpetually obsessed with, far more than Spygate 2 up here.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously Tom's frustrated with the offense, but, you know, the coach was in favor of having Antonio Brown on the team. It was the owner who didn't want to have Antonio Brown on the team.
Right.
I think that, you know, the center of my story, and I wasn't the only person to write this, but the spine of that story in January of 2018 was Tom wanting a long-term contract and thinking that he had deserved the right to get one from the Patriots to play until he, you know, crawled off the field and decided that he sucked, as he said a couple times. And a couple years later, he still does not have that. You know, they've restructured his contract. They've, you know, added heavy incentives to it, but he still does not have that long-term commitment. And, you know, now he has a chance to test the waters a little bit by the terms of his contract and the deal that they struck in August. And so how that plays out, I don't know. I mean, I think you can say what you want about Robert Kraft in a lot of ways, but that guy knows how to close, and he does not want Tom Brady playing for another team. And I think that he would love to, you know, have Tom Brady retire a Patriot and never have the situation like you have with Joe Namath or Joe Montana. And, you know, you have these other iconic players who end up on another team. Whether that ends up happening, I just don't know. Like I said, he wanted that long-term deal and he still hasn't gotten it. And that has been the through line from, you know, the 2017 season into 2018 and this past year.
Seth, thank you for joining us this morning and talking a little bit about what should probably not be called Spygate 2.0.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Seth.
I mean, if this is simply stupidity on the part of a Kraft Productions producer, then Bill must be livid. He must be absolutely
That's the understatement of the year.
Absolutely
livid.
11:45 this morning, you'll hear it live on Dale and Keefe. He meets the media. There is going to be a press storm with the Byron Barnetts and the CNN reporters. It is going to be must-listen, must-see TV.
It's 11:40. It was scheduled for 12:15 yesterday. They bumped it up to 11:45.
Here we go.
I want to make sure. You think I'm not going to be tuned in?
Whenever it is, you'll hear it on Dale and Keefe.
Just curious.
Oh, I actually
everyone.
Just got it. 12:06:30.
12 military time.
He has an
just
alert.
Curious.
Nick has a conference call alert on his phone.
It is 11:45 for my
okay, case. Good.
Right. February 8th.
So it's changed. And by the way, do you think, what's the name of the guy? Is it Housler, the one from Channel 7?
Housley.
Housley. Dan Housley.
Is he going to go, Bill, I mean, you send a guy to Cincinnati taping the sidelines.
What were you thinking?
Please, I hope Housley's there.
Bill is going to be doing it in a Bruins sweatshirt, just like his videographer.
Here's a 781 text. This is a pretty good. This is a pretty good text. Why in the blue hell? I like that expression. Why in the blue hell did they film in Cleveland when Cleveland is playing their next opponent? I mean, talk about again. If you don't believe it's sinister, how stupid is that?
Yeah,
the whole thing is idiotic. I mean, it's idiotic that they think that the NFL has a huge problem on its hands. If they believe the Patriots' PR spin and don't punish them severely, 31 other fan bases are going to be flipping out if they do not get absolutely killed in their punishment.
But does either the reporting of Ben Volen or of Seth Wickersham change your mind a little bit, Curtis?
I mean, slightly. I mean, I think Seth and Ben are excellent reporters, but the point is that it's way too similar for this all to be coincidental, in my opinion. I think the Patriots do a great job of nipping stories in the butt, as Wiggy would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that they are doing a great job of controlling the media. I find it too coincidental to believe that this all just happened to occur randomly by some full-time craft videographer who had no idea that aiming a camera directly at the opponent's sideline of the next week's opponent would be a major, major issue.
So you still smell smoke and see
absolutely,
fire.
Yes.
Yes, all right. More on this as the morning continues. 617-779-7937 is a number to call if you want to be on, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.